You are listening to the FC 90 podcast, bringing you a weekly dose of the pointless football opinions you didn't realise you needed, with regular hosts myself, James Jones, Christy Mallion and Jack Saville. You can find us on Spotify, Apple iTunes, Radio Public and all your other favourite podcast platforms. We're also on Twitter at FC 90 pod and you can also now follow us on TikTok at FC 90 pod. Please make sure you subscribe, rate and review us on whichever podcast platform you're listening to. Enjoy. And welcome back to the latest instalment of the FC 90 podcast. A little bit late this week because Snack Media has had one day of self-isolation where we had the office shut on the day that we would normally record this. So we're in the office now. Thankfully, no one testing positive just yet for coronavirus.
No, although obviously Jack Saville is not with us at the moment.
He's self-isolating for longer.
Well, he's just not too sure what's going on. Someone in his house might have coronavirus, but they don't actually know.
So okay.
He's just taking precautions as any good, honourable citizen would.
That's absolutely the right thing to do.
Yeah.
So hopefully our Jack will be okay, fighting fit.
Yep.
I did read an unconfirmed report, and I don't know whether this is fake news or not,
right,
that the reason why we're not going to do Christie's Corner this week is because it didn't start in Wuhan, China. It started in Christie's Corner.
What, coronavirus?
Yes.
I have to say, I probably came across a little flippant towards coronavirus last week. And then obviously since then, it's been announced as a global pandemic.
Yep.
Which I guess is why I'm not a doctor.
Well, I'm in the same boat as you. Yeah. I've been very flippant. I'm kind of still quite flippant about it now.
Yeah.
Kind of going, what sort of fuss about, guys? Come on. And then WHO come out yesterday and said it was a pandemic.
Yep.
And even then I'm like, is it?
Well, I thought maybe it is, but it won't be that bad in Britain. And then I saw a map from the WHO which showed all the sort of highly affected areas. And essentially what they've done is across sort of Germany, France, Spain and Italy and us have just drawn a massive orange circle.
Yeah.
And then there's like an orange circle in China and a couple of other places. But yeah, we're at the edge of a massive orange circle.
It's quite mad how quickly it spread across Europe, particularly in Italy, northern Italy.
Yeah.
Do you think when they found, it just seemed weird that like the rate that it spread. Do you think that half of Wuhan just jumped on a plane and landed in northern Italy?
Do you know what? I don't know.
It just seems a little bit weird how it's just all ended up there.
I feel like it must have been in Italy longer than they realised. Because suddenly they just went, 50 odd people have died from it. And everyone was like, what?
Yeah.
So it must have been lingering in Italy longer than they thought. There must be some other cause.
Apparently it's because, well, it's not the sole reason, but one of the theories is because their families are quite large and they have quite big gatherings together. So it's spread relatively quickly compared to sort of places like here.
Makes sense.
So moral of the story is don't have a family gathering.
Yeah, we don't like human contact or interaction, really, us Brits, do we?
No, so absolutely not.
To keep it to a minimum. It reminds me, actually, I read an article and it said that I'm pretty sure it's Colombia have the or Colombians have the least sense of personal space. So what a Brit would consider a safe distance or a fair distance away from someone, even if they're your friend, in Colombia it's like, you know, millimetres.
Really?
They're all happy to just be on top of each other all the time, don't even care.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
Sounds nice.
So I mean if coronavirus hits Colombia, they're in real trouble. All bloody hugging and kissing apparently, but
I won't go that far.
Well, no, but there you go. Hopefully the sort of stiffness of British people will save us, as it has many times before, including in World War II. So
exactly,
there you go.
Great.
Well, Britain,
the problem we've got at the moment, and this is what we're going to touch on at the beginning, it's the first time I've ever heard you be quite patriotic.
I'm not really patriotic.
You're not very patriotic at all, but there it was, come on Britain.
We do have a distinct trait of, you know, being stubborn and not liking to talking to people. So, and both of those things will probably help us during this period. So,
absolutely.
Go on, Britain. Well done.
Love that.
Well done.
So, as you've already guessed, it's me, James Jones, Chris DeMallion, and Matt Dawson on this week's episode. No Jack Savoy, as he's self-isolating from this bloody virus that's knocking about. And
knocking about. You know, that global pandemic that's just knocking
just
about.
Just knocking about. Yeah. You know, there's a few people quite unwell at the moment.
Yeah, something going around at the moment. So whenever someone's ill, right, whenever someone's got the flu, someone goes... Or someone say something, oh, I think I've got the flu, and they'll go, yeah, you know, something going around at the moment. Yeah. No matter what time of year it is. No
something
what time
in the water
year,
as well.
Something in the water lately, you know. Oh, yeah, I heard, you know, my friend's friend was ill as well. It's just, it's the common cold. Do you know, it's common for a reason.
Maybe, we were talking about this earlier, that maybe in 10, 20 years' time, you know, you get the flu and like, oh, I've had the flu last week, and it's like, oh, yeah, okay. It'd be like, I've had coronavirus the last week. Been off work for a week.
Yeah.
But I feel better now, thanks. It'd just become like just a norm. Like, I don't know.
That'd probably be all right, to be fair.
Yeah, like influenza.
Yeah.
Influenza kills more people than the coronavirus.
Is that
so, yeah.
Oh,
it has killed more people. Continues to on a daily basis
also,
globally.
It is worth noting, you know, last week I was saying, you know, there's been a massive reaction from the press. I still think that is kind of true just because there has been a lot of flu-based pandemics before. And, you know, humanity didn't die. So,
yeah.
Spanish flu, flew after World War I. Very serious stuff. And the whole world didn't die.
So. We're still knocking about.
The plague.
The plague killed a lot of people.
Killed a lot of people, but humanity didn't die. So
and we're still going to be here.
And it only killed a lot of people because people had no idea what they were doing and just thought if you had loads of nice smells, like petals and candles, then you'd be all right.
Is that not going to save us now?
I don't think so, mate. You can try. If you feel like you've got coronavirus, you can put on a bit of incense and see if it helps.
Just a bit of lavender in your front room.
Yeah, I doubt it will.
Yeah. Okay, well, as you may have already guessed, this week, the main topic of conversation is the coronavirus.
Lovely.
And unfortunately, I suppose it's not the most serious thing that's happening globally that relates to the coronavirus, but it's affecting football.
Mm-hmm.
And this upsets us very much.
Yeah. It does, but I think you can see the logic because, you know, I'm slightly surprised that Liverpool's game last night went ahead, simply because for any given football game, you're talking about people coming from potentially all corners of the globe. So even if, you know, within that one arena, say Anfield, there's one or two people with coronavirus, that could potentially be caught by someone who's then travelling back to, don't know, anywhere in Europe. Anywhere in the world, Ireland, whatever it is.
Back to Wuhan, maybe.
To where?
Wuhan,
back to Wuhan, yeah. Complete the circle.
Yeah.
I think with sporting events, I can understand why they're basically closing them all down because it is just high risk, isn't it? I think on that note as well, saying to someone earlier, particularly because of the way the Euros is set up, where it's across the entire continent, I'll be shocked if the Euros is actually going to go ahead, to be honest.
Shocked.
Unless... coronavirus suddenly disappears off the face of the earth within the next 2 months.
It's kind of typical that the 1 year they've decided to do it around the entirety of a continent, that there is a big pandemic. But no, I think what you were saying in terms of there could just be two people in the crowd with coronavirus.
Yeah.
We saw the Olympiacos and Forest owner,
mm-hmm.
how suddenly there was this massive sort of...
Yeah.
The whole Arsenal team were in self-isolation for another 2 days because they played Olympiacos 14 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you've got to be careful. I think we are heading towards a period where either the entirety of the Premier League is postponed and even further.
The argument at the moment is that whether games should just be played behind closed doors, mm-hmm. or whether they should just postpone the games for a couple of weeks. They've just announced that they're going to do that in La Liga. Real Madrid have put their players into 2 week isolation, which has then led to La Liga just postponing matches for 2 weeks. There's a few Premier League managers that have come out quite strongly for postponing. Pep Guardiola, Chris Wilder, and Nuno Espirito Santo. But I think Santo's probably more just give his ball players a rest because they must be knackered.
Yeah, he only likes playing about 20 players in the whole season, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And they've already played like 50 games this season.
Yeah.
So it's probably why he wants it. But do you agree that instead of just playing behind closed doors and getting on with it, that they should just, you know, postpone it for 2 weeks?
I think the danger of postponing it, obviously, if you're saying, right, we're going to postpone it for this specific amount of time, even then, though, I think the danger is if you postpone it and then it gets postponed again and postponed again, it's like, when do you actually fit it in? When do you actually restart it? Got to remember, at the moment, the Euros isn't cancelled. So at the moment, we wouldn't be able to carry it on into the summer. And as well, we've also got the transfer window, which I know isn't a huge priority, but again, it's something you've got to kind of manoeuvre and treat as an obstacle. So I think there is a danger in just going, we'll postpone it, because then you could end up basically postponing it indefinitely, and then who knows what happens. Are we going to end up finishing the season in September? Are we going to play 6 games in September and then have 2 weeks off, and then it's a new season, or what? And then we've got Qatar around the corner and all the crazy stuff that happens with that as well, where it's in the winter and we're moving seasons around. So it's a bit like, where does it all fit in? I think in terms of logistics, postponing it could cause massive problems.
It causes economic problems as well. I mean, absolutely. A lot of companies will lose a lot of money if that happens, even if it is just 2 weeks. You know, Sky in particular would have already paid, BT would have already paid a lot of money to have games shown on TV.
Poor Matt Dawson will be out of a job. Nothing to write about.
Nothing to write about. Yeah.
I'll be out of the job. Yeah. Is that a warning? Should I be worried?
What do you think, Matt? We'll keep you in the job for the next 20 minutes.
Yeah. Oh,
thank you. No, I think if, as Chrissy says, you've got the Euros and the transfer window to think about. So I imagine there are dialogues happening with FIFA and UEFA. But if the Euros isn't going to go ahead, then there needs to be some sort of consideration, because Serie A is postponed, the league is postponed. As you said, we can't just keep moving it back further and further, because otherwise the season will never end. But I think if you are going to postpone them, or if you're playing them behind closed doors, a lot of teams are going to lose out on their match day revenue as well. So there needs to be that consideration as well. I mean, there's not a lot you can do about a global pandemic, but I mean, it is going to affect football clubs a lot financially. So
I think where the Euros are concerned, I can't imagine a decision being made until the very last minute on that. I know, obviously, they've decided to do it. It's the whole of Europe rather than just one or two countries this time around. But given that a lot of countries are sort of in limbo in terms of what they're going to do with their own seasons, having such a big tournament just cancelled or postponed, that's a decision that affects a lot of things.
Yeah.
And given that a lot of people would have already bought tickets, they've already had bought tickets, flights, accommodation, it has a monumental knock-on effect.
Yeah.
That, I suppose, if you cancel now, it gives you a chance to get your money back, potentially, but surely it has to be a last-minute decision.
It probably does. I think, ultimately, though, it can't go ahead unless the general risk of coronavirus has reduced, you know, exponentially, basically, you know, massively. Because, you know, kind of what we were saying earlier, the way the competition is set up, again, as well as being loads of sporting events where there's people from all different corners of the world, you know, you could have someone who's travelling from one side of Europe to watch their team 1 week to the other side of Europe the next week to watch their team. And then if that person had coronavirus, they are literally carrying coronavirus in a diagonal line across Europe. So, you know, let me put it this way. If the Euros went ahead, and then a few months later, coronavirus is back and it's killing, you know, thousands of people, everyone is going to go, why the hell did you have the Euros? And why the hell did you do it across the entire continent?
There is the belief, though, and I heard a guy talk about this on the news, that hot weather will help.
Yeah.
So maybe that we are kind of waiting for a bit of hot weather just to see whether there is that decline in threat.
That is true. I think, obviously, the concern is that Italy's generally quite warm, and so is China, and it hasn't made a huge impact over there in terms of stopping it. But yeah, it could be a seasonal virus, in which case, when sort of springtime kicks in, which should have been a few weeks ago, to be honest.
Well, we are in the UK.
Like, yeah, we are in the UK, yeah, of course.
It's one thing we're bad at is weather.
Yeah. But yeah, when spring kicks in, and then when it starts getting even warmer, maybe that will help. But at the moment, I feel like no one really knows.
Okay, in terms of, I know we've been talking about the Premier League and what that might happen in the future, but it could affect Liverpool's first ever Premier League title, which a lot of people find hilarious, apart from Liverpool fans.
Yeah.
And what has been quite funny for people that don't support Liverpool is that they seem to be bottling every single competition.
Yeah.
And last night they did it again in the Champions League.
Well, look, I think, if you watched the game last night, Liverpool must have made, throughout the 120 minutes, although they weren't very good in extra time, to be honest, I think they kind of knew the writing was on the wall after Atletico scored twice. But certainly in the initial 90 minutes, they must have created about 25 chances. I'd say probably 10 of those were genuine, this has a high percentage of being a goal kind of chance. But they just couldn't convert enough. Simple as that, really. And then Atletico just that team where if you don't finish them off, they will get you. That's literally what they're about, isn't it? They're about survival, survival, survival. Now we'll get you. And that's exactly what they did. So
the main issue I had with it was Liverpool fans after the game, and Michael Owen as well, barking on about Atletico's style of football and how it's just absolutely rubbish. You can't just park 10 men behind the ball or whatever they
were doing.
They
scored three goals, though.
Exactly. They still scored three goals.
Yeah, four in the tie.
And I think Simeone has obviously built that belief in the team that they can just set up like that. And the fact that they still score three goals was particularly impressive against Liverpool as well, when they didn't necessarily even have to go out and sort of play like they did on the counter-attack. Mm. So, yeah, I read a stat as well that they made 72 clearances.
Wow.
In the 120 minutes, and Liverpool only made 10.
Wow, that's
which
incredible.
Is pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, I think Simeone's just got this thing though, where whatever he says to his players, the ultimate message is, you know, we're going to get a couple of chances, because even if you play terribly in a football game, you will get a couple of chances, and when we do, we'll take them. And it seems, you know, the one thing you can say, you know, they're talking about a lot last night, this Atletico team is by no means as good as it was 3 or 4 years ago. I think that's without question.
Yeah.
Hasn't got any world class players anymore. Used to have maybe 3 or 4, or maybe Jan Oblak's a world class goalie, to be fair. But throughout, that character has remained, where they've always been so sure that no matter how badly they're getting battered at the other end, all they need is one chance on the break, or even if it's not on the break from a set piece or whatever, all they need is one chance or two chances and they'll take it. And that's exactly what they did last night. So I think you've got to praise Simeone, really, because that's been a trend in the Atletico team for, how long has it been there now? Nearly 10 years now, isn't it? It must be about 7 or 8 years. That's been a trend throughout. So I think you've just got to give him enormous credit, to be honest.
I think, see, that the bitterness, and you can call it bitterness, coming out of the Liverpool camp. and it's the same after the first leg, where I think I watched an interview with, is it Robertson and Van Dijk, and they were very dismissive of the fact that they'd lost, and that, you know, that it was, I think it was their first defeat in like 30, 40 games anyway. But do you think that they've begun to get a little bit too sure of themselves, and that's kind of been their undoing? They're still going to win the Premier League unless it gets cancelled, obviously. But in other competitions, do you think they've got a little bit too cocky?
I think certain players definitely have. I think some of them in the squad are still quite level-headed. You saw Milner before the Bournemouth game really G'ing up the players, trying not to be complacent. I think Jordan Henderson's another one that keeps him fairly grounded. But yeah, the Robertson interview where he was basically like, oh, Anfield will win us the game. I'm pretty certain Klopp said something similar as well. So I know it's become a fortress, but when it comes to a Champions League night, I think it's a bit of a cliche, but seemingly anything can happen.
Yeah.
I think Liverpool should know that best after Istanbul as well. I know it wasn't on that kind of scale, but Atletico came with a plan and they carried it out to perfection pretty much. So,
yeah, I think the other thing as well is, that probably doesn't get talked about enough, that really Liverpool are very reliant on maybe 7 or 8 players in their starting 11. And sometimes even when one of those is missing, like Alisson was last night, it seems to actually undo pretty much the whole team to an extent. And I think when you compare that to, you know, Man City, for example, who I think this season maybe the squad's a bit weaker than it has been, but certainly last year it was like every single player had two options, or every single position had two top class options.
There's almost too much consistency within that squad, that they need a bit more competition.
Yeah,
I think if there's one area that they're going to have to strengthen in the summer, it will be just to bulk out some of those areas. They can't just keep on relying on sort of Robertson and Alexander-Arnold to whip in crosses all the time. They are going to need a bit more within that squad, especially if they're going to sort of live up to this claim that they are one of the best sides we've seen in England.
I agree, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's pretty much it for this week.
Okay.
We've spoken about coronavirus and the impact on football. Mm-hmm. Spoken about Liverpool bottling everything but the Premier League. Yeah, and we're hopefully this time next week we'll have Jack back from self-isolation, and none of us would have fallen into self-isolation.
There's hope for us all.
There is hope for us all. Hopefully the offices will be open as well. We don't even know whether that should be at work.
And the tube. Who knows?
Just hope the country will still be running.
By the way, when I usually don't get on the tube in rush hour. Went on it in rush hour on Tuesday, and I was like, my God, this could be an absolute catastrophe.
You say that, so. I mean, we've been laughing about people wearing masks in public.
Yeah, well, the masks apparently don't make any difference.
Well, they don't.
Those people are completely wasting their time and their money.
Well, there's a guy... There's
and their capacity to breathe normally. So
there's a guy that most mornings we get on the same train, and we sort of stand next to each other most mornings that are waiting for the same train. And today he was wearing a mask as a fashion accessory. He wasn't on, it was just around his neck.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, maybe he's just waiting to get on the train. He gets on the train for the entire journey, didn't put it on. It was like, he was just like, well, you know, I've got a mask.
Just making a statement.
Sure.
Wow.
That's shocking, that.
And I thought, you're either forgotten to put it on, or you're just an idiot.
Yeah.
I think it was the latter.
Well, see, this is all those people walk around wearing rosary beads as jewellery, and it's actually a praying device for nuns. So, well done. You're cool. Not.
I mean, that's exactly the same as wearing a mask as...
It's similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's up there.
Great. Okay, well, thanks for joining us for this very short episode of the FC 90 podcast. As always, if you enjoy what we do every week, then please make sure you subscribe on whichever podcast platform you're listening to us on. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at FC 90 Pod, and we'll see you next week.